Welcome to Holistic Trauma Healing, a podcast that empowers you to heal trauma in the same way it has affected you as a whole person. I am Lindsay Lockett, your host. I have discovered a profound path to healing trauma that allows us to move out of the role of victim and into the role of empowered and conscious creator of our best possible reality. I offer hope, healing insights, and practical tips as you get to the root of how trauma has affected every part of your existence and how to weave a new web of life that isn't ruled by the past.
Hello, hello. It is Wednesday, May 18th, and I am 3 days late to putting this podcast episode out. I'm feeling my body making the shift from winter mode into spring and summer mode, and that means I'm spending less time in my office and more time outside. We recently got some brand new yard furniture. It's the first time in my adult life that I've had new yard furniture or deck furniture, patio furniture, whatever you want to call it, and it's such a big deal. For 20 years, I oogle over deck furniture and patio furniture whenever it's spring and we go into places like Home Depot, and because we're always in places like Home Depot because we always have a million things to do on a homestead. And so I pass by the deck furniture and I just drool over it. And this year, finally, 39 years old, I got brand new deck furniture for the first time in my life. And so I've been spending tons of time out there, just been taking my book out there and reading, or literally just sitting out there and watching the hummingbirds. I have a couple of hummingbirds who fight over the hummingbird feeder we have, even though we have two hummingbird feeders, and there's plenty for both of them. They insist on fighting over the sugar water. So anyway, it's been super fun. And I've just been procrastinating putting the podcast out. Honestly, I'm just like, I don't want to go sit behind a microphone and edit audio. I want to sit out here and watch the hummingbirds fight. So alas, I am late, but better late than never, right? And speaking of my body making the shift from winter into spring, summer, to honor my body's need for sunshine and being outdoors and my need to be forest bathing and petting moss, I am going to reduce how often I produce new episodes just for the summer. So for now, I'm thinking I'm going to do an episode once every 2 weeks instead of once a week. And hopefully that works out for you as well. I know sometimes our schedules in the summertime either get busier because we're traveling or we're seeing family, or family's coming to see us, or we're getting projects done. Like in my case, we have a very limited amount of time to get a lot of things done before winter sets in again. And so I just need to honor my need to be outside and to do all the things that I love to do outside by working less. And so I've already onboarded 9 new clients for this summer, and that's all I'm taking for the summer. And I plan on teaching my Nervous System 101 workshop once in June and once in July, and those details will be forthcoming. But otherwise, I'm gonna have a relaxing summer. Well, it'll be relaxing, but it'll also be a lot of hard work because I'll be playing in my garden. We also have a lot of little projects that we're trying to do around our house. One big project is cleaning out our barn, which right now looks like a tornado has gone through it. Or it looks like we're hoarders. I'm not really sure which. Maybe both. But anyway, that's just a little bit of housekeeping that I wanted to take care of with you today. And I'm ready to jump into this episode. So this episode may seem like it's a little bit late, not just late in that I didn't publish it on Sunday, I'm publishing it on Wednesday, but late in the fact that we talk about the Freedom Trucker convoy that was happening earlier in 2022 around COVID mandates and vaccine mandates, and it started in Canada, and then the United States had its own version of the Freedom Convoy, and there was a lot of turmoil over what was going on in the Freedom Convoy. A lot of left-wing news sources were saying that it was a white supremacist movement, that it was founded in racism and white supremacy. And then there were a lot of people on the right that were saying the opposite of that and were really just trying to raise awareness around bodily autonomy and medical freedom and the perhaps lack of research behind vaccines and the way that mandates were taking away people's freedoms by restricting travel, restricting how where they could work, and all of that. We all know all of that, right? And so this episode isn't totally centered on mandates about COVID or even the trucker convoy. It's centered on, if we zoom out and we look at the bigger picture, it's centered on this whole thing that's happening. I don't even know what to call it. I don't know if we call it a movement or an awakening. I don't know what it is, but it's happening. And I think you can feel the energy. I know you can. I can feel it too. And it's this, it's like we're in this liminal space of knowing that the old ways of being, of capitalism, of government interference and overreach, of corruption, of patriarchy, even the anti-racist narratives, like some of those have become really woke and not beneficial at all. Like that is starting to become more and more of a thing that we're having to talk about. And I'm seeing a lot of discussion on that on social media. And so this conversation with my guest, LaTonya Williams, is, well, it was inspired by an Instagram video of hers that I watched. And I was just floored that here was this Black woman who was completely going against everything the left was saying about the Freedom Convoy. And she was doing it very loudly. And it was, I was just so inspired by her boldness and her courage. And so as soon as I saw that video, I reached out to her and was like, I really want you to come on my podcast. I think we could talk about some really amazing things. So here she is on the podcast, and I will tell you about LaTonya. So LaTonya Williams is a Canadian actor based out of Vancouver, and she has over 50 credits in film and TV. She's appeared on Lifetime, Hallmark, and she's also a recurring appearance on Netflix's Travelers. And maybe you've also seen her on social media, where she's recently been making waves for fearlessly and insightfully offering her perspective on the current state of affairs. She is a science nerd turned socialite who went from studying molecular biology and biochemistry in university to press tours in LA alongside her co-stars Kelly Rowland and Bracia Webb. LaTonya is a confident, fun-loving, and passionate woman with her heart set on igniting existential change and creating heaven on earth. And I was just delighted to come across LaTonya, and I love how she's using her platform to speak out about the things that matter to her. And of course, authenticity is one of my highest values. It's something I place a lot of value on, and I know that authenticity is something that is really taken from us whenever we experience trauma, whether, especially if that's childhood trauma, right? Like complex trauma from childhood. And so we learn to modify ourselves and change ourselves and silence ourselves and get smaller or get funnier or become the class clown or whatever in order to navigate our way through our families of origins and survive. And then we completely lose touch with who we really are because we've become this version of ourselves that keeps us safe. And authenticity is not safe. It's not safe. And I've learned that being on Instagram and undergoing 2 semi-cancellations. And it's just not safe to be authentic. And LaTonya is definitely authentic. And definitely what she says is not safe. And so I'm excited to bring her onto the show today. And I hope you will follow her, find her. She doesn't do work with clients like a lot of my guests do, but she has some really amazing resource recommendations that I'll be sharing in the show notes. And you'll hear us talk about those in the episode. So without further ado, please welcome LaTonya Williams to the podcast. Welcome, LaTonya, to the Holistic Trauma Healing Podcast. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Lindsay. Happy to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited. Okay. I initially found you like, I don't know, 2 months ago, maybe through the People of Color for Freedom page that was
talking all about the trucker convoy that was happening in Canada back at the beginning of 2022. And they reposted a video that you shared, and I watched the whole video and I took notes, and I was literally like, holy shit, I have to have LaTanya on my podcast. I was instantly a fan. So we're going to talk about that video and specifically the 4 points that you raised in that video, because I think that they're so relevant, not just on the small scale of the trucker convoy specifically, but more on a mass scale of what we're going through as a collective in terms of our freedoms being taken away and our movement being mandated and limited and surveilled and all the shit that's going on right now, which is freaking crazy. And yeah, I don't even know where our conversation is going to go today. So let's just get into it.
Let's start with the first point, right?
Yeah. Okay. So your first point is, and you were specifically talking about the trucker convoy, and you're Canadian and you live in Canada. So obviously this was super, super relevant to you and what you're dealing with in your own country, but broadly, collectively, I still think it all applies, which is why I'm so excited. So you made these 4 points, and I'll say what all the 4 points are, and then we can talk about each one individually. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, cool. So your 4 points were: this movement has no top or bottom. 2, certain politicians and media employing the non sequitur. 3, agreeing with someone on 1 point equals automatically acquiring their beliefs, desires, and past transgressions, which is false, we know. And then 4, your own voice and other BIPOC voices were ignited by the supposedly racist protesters. So I guess people aren't going to see this. So you are a woman of color. Okay. So just letting everyone know.
For the listeners.
Yeah. For the listeners who can't see you. So yeah, specifically trucker convoy, broadly collective healing, what we're going through, the mass movement. What would you even call the mass movement? The mass movement of awakening, of collective freedom? What is it to you?
It is. It's an awakening. It's a realization. It's everyone all of a sudden having this aha moment of that feeling, the knowing that there's just something off here. And I just think that is brilliant. It's amazing. It's beautiful that we were able to come to that realization all together. It happened because we were all at the same time all together, limited from our all distractions, work and stuff. When the lockdowns and stuff happened, we all just, everything stopped. Which was, and that beautiful thing that comes from that is that we had a moment to think and come to this realization, which is just the beginning though. That awakening is just the beginning. We got work to do.
Yeah, that's no joke. So yeah, I guess going back to the beginning, that's a great place to start actually, is what was it like for you in the beginning of 2020 with the lockdowns? Would you say that you were already in this sort of awakened conscious place where you were seeing the power and the hierarchy that's happening in government and the corruption of how big pharma and technocracy and big oil and all of these different things are running the show with our different governments? Were you already awake to all of that, or was that something that kind of unfolded for you through the pandemic?
I can't take all the credit for my own awakening. This is something that it's been in my surroundings. My dad has been speaking about these things. He's actually, his entire life has been developed around waking people up to this situation, but also then providing them with solutions as to how we can solve the problem. But the thing is, up until that point, up until early 2020, I was just you know what, Dad? I'm an actress. I'm just trying to be an actress right now. I got auditions. I've got social events. I've got premieres. I got all kinds of things. Yeah, I'll save the world some other time.
I don't have time for this right now.
Yeah. But then when it all hit, it was oh man, he was right. And it was just a slow unfolding for me. Not slow. It was pretty immediate. It was oh my goodness. It happened. It happened the way it's happening, the way he's always said it was going to happen. And then thing after thing just kept on happening. And I'm just okay, where is this going? And then you see where this is taking us, and it isn't anywhere good. So I spent the last couple of years working on myself and facing my fears in order to find my voice and find what it is that I, how it is that I can contribute to the solution. So that's what's been my process over the last couple of years.
Okay. And so going into as much or as little detail as you want to, what was it? What was the thing that your dad was like, this is going to happen? And you were like, holy shit, it's happening. What was it? Was it a progression of events? What is it? Was it the pandemic itself? It was the
lockdowns.
How long was your dad talking about that before it happened?
He was talking not specifically about lockdowns, but it's specifically more so about the change that was going to happen in society, where we're going to move towards a society that we're not even going to recognize anymore, and how that was going to happen. And then from the moment the lockdowns hit, he was able to guide me toward, hey, don't be afraid. This is what I've been talking about. And I was like, so it wasn't specifically that he said the lockdowns were happening, but he said that something like this was going to happen.
Yeah.
And then it did.
It did. Yeah. and you said that you spent a lot of time working on yourself and really facing your fears, and that helped you to find your voice and speak your voice during that difficult time. What was that process like for you?
It's a process of really starting to understand my mind and how thoughts work and how emotions work. And I did this course where I learned how to develop an awareness that's beyond consciousness. Like, because consciousness is more, it's a program that we've programmed into ourselves from when we were really young. And that's why we can't really rely on our emotions or even our like immediate thoughts and reactions, because it's really just a program that we've been running since we were kids, and or just from our experiences or from our traumas. And so just starting to learn how to take my power back and be and breathe and give myself that space to direct how I'm going to proceed, because a lot of the times we let our emotions guide us, and they're really just going to guide us into the exact same things that we've always done before. Yeah. So it was, I took this, it's a free course, it's called DIP. And I used, what was really the key factor alongside that course was this product software. It's a software that I use called TechnoTutor. And what TechnoTutor does is it allows the user to like deprogram those really deep rooted, those emotional connections that we have with certain words and triggers. And it allows you to go in and fix it the way that we learned it. Because when we were kids and we're like between the ages of 0 and 7, we're just absorbing our surroundings. We're from the authority figures and our parents and the TV and everything. We're absorbing it because what's happening is it's called the natural learning ability. That's our physical learning ability. That's how we absorb things. But then when you're about 7 years old, your mind starts to take over and your personality starts to develop, and it becomes impossible to really change those things on a deeper and permanent level. It's harder to really go in and change those things. But that's what TechnoTutor does, because it allows you to physically reprogram yourself so that the words that you are programmed with, because the words we know manifest our realities, right?
100%.
So it allows you to change that programming. And it's been a game changer for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting. I'm really glad that you brought this up, because like, I would call that what you're talking about of like before the age of 7, you're just like, you're wide eyed and wonder and curious, and like, you're in tune with your body. And even little kids have like connection to their past lives and like imaginary friends and stuff like that. And they have a connection to nature and so curious about everything. And then about the age of 7 is it's when the ego starts to come online. And then that forces like the development of personality. And then if the child doesn't have secure attachment to their caregivers, or if they're in a home where there's dysfunction, whether that's abuse or emotional neglect or even poverty or something, like that starts to create programming where the child has to adapt themselves constantly in order to survive in their environment. And that programs us. It's like an autopilot programming that programs us and sets us up for how we're going to engage with our world going forward. Yeah. And then we get to like age, whatever age it is. Like for me, it was like age 30. But we get to whatever the age is and we realize like, shit, something in my life isn't working.
I seem to be in the exact same place. I keep
I keep sabotaging myself. I keep having the same kinds of relationships with the same kind of losers. I keep having flashbacks of my childhood and now it's affecting how I'm living in my life. I have all these triggers. And that's when they find people like me, because they're like, I can't do this anymore and I need help finding my way out of it. So what you're saying like absolutely aligns with my work, which is another reason why I'm super excited to have you on today.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like the two really do coincide, and this techno tutor would just be like that last tool in your toolbox. You've got a lot of tools.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to link to that in the show notes for sure for people. Okay. So if we go back to these four points that you made, the first point was this movement has no top or bottom. And you were specifically talking about the Freedom Convoy in Canada, but I do think that it applies to the general collective movement of awakening and how people are starting to really see that there is a man behind the curtain. And it's not a conspiracy. Like, I got labeled a conspiracy theorist for a lot of 2020.
Yeah.
And now I'm smiling with pleasure. So yeah, talk to me about this point, about this movement, this collective awakening, the Freedom Convoy, like people standing up and really demanding to have our freedom back and our freedom of movement and our freedom to work and our freedom to travel and our freedom to go into places without needing certain medical things to get into those places and all of that. Tell me about the movement having no top or no bottom. Like, how is it being organized? Is it organized? Could it be organized better? Just tell me everything.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Like, it's just people, we're so accustomed to looking at anything in society, like in this hierarchical structure where there's people at the top telling the people at the bottom what to do. And what I'm saying is like, the change is not going to happen that way. Change is not going to come from the top down. There's not going to be this like really awesome organized people at the top that have all the right words, that have all the media resources, that can tell people, all these different people, and get them to do what they want. The change is not going to come from the top down, because the reason we're in this structure to begin with is because the people at the top are benefiting at the expense of the people at the bottom.
Amen.
So yeah. The change is not going to come that way. I'm sure it's hard for people to imagine anything different. And that's why they're like, oh yeah, look at these people at the top. They're actually just going to, they've tricked all the people in the trucker convoy to join them. But really, they're going to go carry out their alt-right, all like crazy ideas. And they're just going to trick us all into following them. It's just, that's not what it is at all. This is change. This is how we're going to change. It's going to be a grassroots movement that just burgeons and swells. It's going to be all different people from all different walks of life coming together. And just from that awareness, creating change. It's not going to come from the top down, even though that's how it's always been. And the idea of existential change is we're always, when people don't think that we can change, like that change can come from the bottom like that, because we're programmed to believe that existential change is, we can just shut down when we consider that.
Yeah, it's really overwhelming.
It's overwhelming to consider. So it can't happen. Shut it down. Mm-hmm. Which I think works. Who does that benefit, having that mindset? Right?
Yeah.
It benefits the people at the top.
Yeah. Are you familiar with Charles Eisenstein and his book, The More Beautiful World Our Hearts Know Is Possible? Are you familiar with that at all?
No.
Okay. You'd probably really love that book. And in the very beginning of the book, I think he's around my age. He may be a little older than me, but I don't know how old you are. Maybe really dating myself here, but he talks about... Okay. He talks about in the beginning of the book, like how when he was growing up, there was, of course, it was like,
I grew up in the 90s too.
Okay. Awesome. So there was like the Gulf War was happening and like the Bill Clinton was president for a lot of that time. And there was just in the United States anyway. And there was this sense, I remember even feeling like when I would watch the news, and he talks about this in his book, how there was a sense that, yeah, bad things were happening, but our government is taking care of us. Like the Gulf War is happening, but you would see it on TV. And I remember watching like the news footage from the Gulf War, and it would be like these night cameras with like bright green flashes where the bombs were going off. And it was like, oh, that's really scary.
but the government's taking care of it. Like, it's far away from me. It's way over on the other side of the world and I get to watch it on TV, but it doesn't really affect me that much. And then the same thing with in 2008, like whenever the recession started in the US and we had the housing crisis happen and people were defaulting on all their mortgages because the banks had given a bunch of bad loans. And there was this sense that like the government was going to bail us out and everything was going to be okay because the government was going to fix everything. And you have a much more socialist country even than we do in Canada. And so there's probably a big sense because you have universal healthcare and you have all these different things, like the government's taking care of us. Like, we can trust the government to take care of us. They have our best interests at heart. And then I think we saw without a doubt now, after what's happened the last 2 years, I think there's people like you and me who are like, abso-fucking-lutely, the government is not taking care of us. And they really just want to surveil us and have power over us and control our movement. But then I think there's other people who, it's no fault of their own. It's just a fear thing, right? It's just a fear thing of, but I believe that the government is taking care of us. And I believe that they are good. And I believe that my vote matters. And I believe, and like, they're holding on to that belief that, that the government is going to swoop in and take care of everything. And they think that the change is going to come from the top because those are the people with power, and they get overwhelmed. As you were just talking about, they get overwhelmed because it's like the changes that need to happen are so big that you can't even wrap your head around it. Do you run into that? Do you feel like people are still stuck in that belief that, but any day now, the government's going to take care of this?
I think I don't just run into that. I think we're surrounded by that. I think that for the most part, people still really want to believe that because you're right. It's a fear because what's the alternative? But I think to address that fear, we just need to realize that we are the ones that need to change in order for, like, all we have to do is change ourselves. Like, the system around us has only, that, like, with all of the war and the genocide and the famine and the slavery and everything that's going on, the only reason that it's allowed to persist the way that it does is because we let it. We are so preoccupied with, allow ourselves to be so distracted. And we put it at the blame outside of ourselves instead of taking responsibility. And it's just, it's so much more simple than we're making it out to be. Like, we need to go change the world. No, we need to change ourselves. And then we just need to influence the people around us who will influence the people around them. And all that we got to do is stop letting our emotions run the show, because our emotions are what it's perpetuating the shit that we went through from the past. And where did the past lead us? I mean, people want to go back to their lives the way that they were, like, before the pandemic, right? Which would be great. But if we're being really honest, it's not great. There's still human trafficking, and there's a genocide happening in China. There's war all the time. There's people, our own countries are dropping bombs all over the world. Like, we need to not be fighting to get back to that level of asleep that we were before. We need to, like, take this awareness and run. Let's create something different. We can do it. It's just a matter of 1 + 1 to the power of 10.
Yeah. So what are some things that you've been doing in your life to take that power back and raise your awareness and influence the people around you?
It's about learning about your mind. Learning how to walk yourself out of those emotions, learning about how you can be that directive principle in your life and choose to direct yourself in a way that considers all things and considers the best option for everyone around you, including yourself. So starting to develop that mindset where you aren't necessarily just, let me turn this off. You develop that mindset where you're considering other things, other people, like the people around you, because we're preconditioned to really be self-interest only, act out of self-interest only. Like, acting, like, having fears, it's self-interested, right? Like, you, like, if we're, like, my fear to speak up because of backlash within the industry or whatever, that's something I needed to face because it's so much more important to be the directive principle in my life and show others that change is possible and that they can do it too. So just learning how to empower yourself. And it's a process of forgiving yourself for being that person that you've been this entire time. And from that forgiveness, you take that power and you create something different. And you learn to assess consequences in a way that doesn't just benefit yourself. Mm-hmm. So you have to develop principles and be a part of groups and develop a community around you that supports you in that development. And that's been what I've been doing. That process with DIP and the techno tutor daily, just every single day working on that. And the results have been amazing. Working on building my community.
That's awesome. I love that. And I would add to that, because the listeners of this show probably know this is coming, like in that process of empowering yourself and finding your voice and being your authentic self and being able to show up in the world differently and take responsibility for yourself. My work primarily focuses pretty heavily on being able to work with your nervous system through that process and being able to feel what you feel in your body. And instead of reacting to it, which would create the same outcome as before, you can feel what you feel in your body and you learn how to move with it and you respond to it in a conscious way versus an unconscious reaction. And that requires emotional maturity and emotional agility. And that requires like awareness and then also like nervous system work of feeling that activation in your body when you feel threatened, whether it's a real threat, like somebody's about to hit you standing in front of you, or you open your phone and somebody sent you a shitty DM and you feel on alert, you feel attacked, but learning how to like notice your nervous system's activation in that process and know how to shift the state of your own nervous system. So that would be the only thing that I would add to what you're saying. And that's just because I'm a nervous system nerd. So
no, I feel like the two really do coincide. It's just that last tip is like the physical tool of that software that really cements all the work, everything that you're doing. I think what your courses are like is really similar to the DIP process that I've been walking. So it's just
interesting.
Yeah.
I can't wait to check it out. Okay. Anything else you want to say about the collective movement of awakening doesn't have a top or a bottom?
The last thing I would say to that is just that the irony of the situation is that the people at the top, like doing their destructive things to the planet, even though it benefits them now, it's only going to eventually lead to their destruction as well.
Yeah.
So the more we keep following along with them, it's really just following them right off a cliff. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think for me, the thing that's confusing to me is like, for example, Elon Musk, like everyone, he makes the news all the time for like his humanitarian efforts, right? He's like this amazing humanitarian. And I think at the beginning of the Ukraine-Russia crisis, he paid however many millions of dollars to make sure that people in Ukraine had internet access. So like he does these really beautiful humanitarian things that truly do help people.
Yeah.
And at the same time, he's also like spearheading the like transhumanism movement of putting our consciousnesses on a hard drive, like on a chip, and implanting it into our brains so that we can continue to live in our consciousness in different bodies after this body dies. If people haven't heard about that, it's fucking crazy. But I think people have such a hard time being like, how can this guy be this like amazing humanitarian who clearly cares about people and wants to give back and wants to save the earth? And at the same time, like he wants to put all of our consciousnesses on computer chips and that only the wealthy are going to have access to, by the way. This is only going to be something that like perpetuates wealthy people being able to live. So eventually those of us who aren't wealthy are going to die out and our consciousnesses will no longer exist. People should read the book Sapiens if you haven't heard of this. Yeah, Yuval Noah Harari, like Sapiens. I'll link to that in the show notes as well. But it talks about, not about Elon Musk specifically, but about the transhumanism movement. So I know I personally feel a dissonance in my body whenever and I'm just using him as one example. Like I think Bill Gates could be another example, right? Like Bill Gates is this humanitarian. He's been all about creating like access to healthcare and vaccines for people in third world countries and like all of that, which seems like a really charitable, generous thing to do. But then we look at how that's playing out and like it's causing like genocide and death in these countries where he's doing all of this experimentation. And like, he wants digital identity. People need to look into ID 2020 and Agenda 2030. Those are two things that Bill Gates is like heavily involved in. And people are praising him as this humanitarian. And really he's at the top, right? He and Elon Musk and these people, they're at the top and they look like they're doing really great things, but I see it
because I do consider myself an awake person. Like I see it and I'm like, no, see, they're getting us on their side by looking like they're super charitable and all about humanity and save the planet and save the people and all of that. But really it's going to eventually lead to our demise because it's all rooted in control,
right? Like
mass control.
You know, the one thing I'll add to that is that it's the technology itself, like the technology itself, as far as surveillance and whatever, there could be benefits. Sure. There could be benefits to knowing that if I have kids and there's somebody who's a known registered pedophile, I'm sure if my phone goes off and he's around, I'm out of there. That's fine. If I'm saying that, I'm not saying that's what's being developed, but I'm just saying there could be we can't be really afraid of the technology itself, mm-hmm. but what we need to take a look at is the people behind it. Like what you're saying, right? These people are emotionally disordered people with crazy agendas.
Thank you for saying that. Like,
it should be obvious at this point, but since it's not, so it doesn't, for the people that are awake, there's really like the technology is coming. That technology is going to come. There's no use in being afraid of reality, but we need to direct it in a way that we need to learn how we can direct ourselves and create a community and a society that is able to make trust that these technologies are in the hands of the right people.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that. Love that. All right, let's go on to point number two. Okay, so as part of the Freedom Convoy movement, but also this started back at the beginning of 2020. This was also really present after the murder of George Floyd. Like we've seen this over and over, is like certain politicians and media employ the non sequitur. Will you explain what that means to people and where you're seeing that happen?
Non sequiturs is when you receive a question, and politicians do this all the time, where they receive it and they're like, yep. And the response has absolutely nothing to do with the question. They respond with the answer that they wish they had gotten. So that's what the non sequitur is basically. But like all of those, all of it, like it's all an attack on the person. So when they didn't answer the question, like, why are those people there? Why are people outraged and storming, coming over to the capital city and having this convoy in the first place? They don't want to answer any of those questions, but their purpose in their responses is to instill fear in everyone around us, every single one of the citizens, in all kinds of different ways. The people that believe them, they're going to be afraid that there are racists and misogynists that are storming the Capitol. And the people that are for them, they're going to be afraid. First of all, they're going to have afraid because there's going to be that little seed of doubt, because now they're afraid to support them because that fear started getting a little seed got triggered in them. Or they're going to be afraid that if they did say something, they're going to get associated. Or if you don't post, even if you're for or against, if you don't post anything, then maybe you'll get associated. So yeah. It's just all across the board. It's all about fear. That's what the non sequitur, that's what all of these logical fallacies and ad hominem attacks, where you attack the person instead of their argument, mm-hmm. right? You take a shot at their who they are and you try to label them. What ends up happening is fear. And fear is that monster that I was talking about in that video. It's that monster inside of us, which gets us to do all kinds of things, because fear is it's an emotion, right? Like it's a reaction.
It's a survival state.
Yeah, exactly. And and once we're afraid, we can be manipulated. So that was the name of the game. They were just out there trying to, and this happens, and this is beyond obviously the trucker convoy. What is the media? Mm-hmm. It's all about just fear porn, essentially. It's get us to feel a certain way so we get imbued with this opinion. And the opinion is not at all based on anything other than the fact that it made us feel a certain way. So we hold this opinion and it's related to this word. And it's all like very beautifully intricate.
Seriously.
Intricate and just well done. Like they're brilliant.
Yeah. 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 It's like it's a crazy, I don't even know how they orchestrated this kind of a PSYOP, honestly. Like
it's brilliant. I mean, they've been working on it for time.
Yeah.
I mean, my dad will say that they've been working on it for time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. I'm really glad that you brought up the non sequitur of like people being asked a question, and because they don't like the question and it wasn't the question they wanted, then they're giving the answer to the question that they wish they would have gotten. And the ad hominem of, I'm not going to attack your, or I'm not going to criticize your argument or your point. I'm just going to criticize and attack you as a person. I'm going to attack your character. Mm-hmm. And on a very small scale, summer of 2020 and summer of 2021, I had a couple of Instagram accounts. This is so silly, but I had a couple of Instagram accounts who, for whatever reason, took an interest in my content and decided to create like whole highlight reels about me and like what an awful person I was. And so I would say something on Instagram and they would screenshot it or they would screen record it. And then they would post it on their own accounts with their own commentary. And one of the things was that
wow,
I was,
you made it big time, girl.
And I'm like, I mean,
cancellation campaign.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And at this point, I think I had like less than 3,000 Instagram followers, like big threat, like huge threat, but and these accounts with these story highlights with my name on them still exist. Like they're still there. But anyway, it was just this bizarre, like they would screenshot my videos or whatever, and they would repost them with their own commentary. And it was all about, they would take whatever I said, and instead of addressing that thing in particular, they attacked my character. So because I said this, even if they completely took it out of context, which they did, like that meant I was a racist. And at one point they were saying that I was a member of QAnon. And at another point, they were saying that I was recruiting people for the NXIVM sex cult. And like, it was not even based on what I said, but because of who I was Instagram following. Because I was following certain people, they would go through my follower list and they would screenshot my follower list and be like, see, because these people follow her, they're also known associates, air quotes there, of people in the NXIVM sex cult. So by association, she's recruiting people into the NXIVM sex cult. And it literally had nothing to do with anything I was posting, because I post about trauma, the nervous system, awareness and consciousness, psych meds, like that's the kind of shit I'm posting. So none of this had anything to do with my content, but it was that ad hominem that you're talking about, or that non sequitur where they're like, I'm going to attack this person's character in an attempt to discredit them and what they're saying, because I can't actually discredit what they're saying, but I can try to discredit them as a person.
Wow.
Yeah. It was bonkers.
That is incredible. That is incredible. And then what's that supposed to make you do? They're trying to make you stop. They're trying to make you fearful.
Yeah, right? Totally. Trying to make me fearful, trying to make me feel fear that my account's going to get taken down, that I'm going to lose a bunch of followers, which is going to affect my income. Yeah, there was fear. I did feel fear for sure. But at the same time, you have to be an awake person to be able to sit with people saying stuff like that about you and still know what's true for you, like in your heart. Yeah. And I can know I am in no way associated with the NXIVM sex cult, even if I follow people or they follow me who are. Like, it's one doesn't equal the other. It's, oh my God, I know. Get a fucking job, people.
Jeez. Oh my goodness. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's like seventh grade middle school click shit. It's crazy. It's craziness. But yes, it's happening on the grander scale with politicians, with the media and all of that. But it's also happening on a really small scale. And it just goes to show, I think, the magnitude of how this type of, I don't even want to call it an argument, but like this type of behavior is becoming more and more acceptable.
Acceptable, exactly. That they'll even come after you. So that's what, and then that's why it's almost taken me this long to even start to speak up, because my surroundings, the people I'm around, I knew that the things that I was going to say was going to be in contradiction to a lot of the people around me. And there's that fear, because how's that going to affect my industry relationships, and my career and all kinds of things. Like, it's crazy. It's the energy of fear and hate, so much power over our lives. It's unbelievable. Like it our own fears materialize into reality, and it affects outcomes and moments in our lives. And then it also, like, the collateral damage is how it affects the people around us.
Yeah.
So that's why it to loop back to what I said before, is that's why it's so important. People don't realize how important it is to start getting a handle on your own fears.
Yeah.
It's not, our fear is what's created this world that we're in. Absolutely. So that's how we're going to change it.
Yeah. We can't create the new world through the paradigm of fear.
Yeah. We got to do something different. We can't do what we've always been doing.
No.
Like it's what we've been doing has created war and genocide and 25,000 people dying every day from starvation.
Yeah.
So we're not doing anything right here.
It's not working.
It's not working.
All right. So third point, and this also goes with what I was just saying, I think, about that agreeing with someone on one point automatically means you're somehow supporting and acquiring all of their beliefs and desires and their past transgressions. That's big with like cancel culture right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just illogical to assume that. That makes it all of a sudden your responsibility. Before you make a single post, you got to think 20 times, because if you post this person's thing, you also need to go through their entire Instagram page, read everything they've ever posted, every opinion they've ever had. Who cares if they've changed? Because people change over time.
But what? Fuck that. No, people can't change.
Yeah. Like now that becomes responsibility. And then the weight of that is just so huge that people just, nope, never mind. I'm not going to say anything at all. I'm going to silence myself because I'm so afraid of being silenced.
Yeah.
Like it's just so ironical. Like,
yeah. It's just creating a culture of self-censorship.
Oh yeah. 100%. We people, there's only one way to think that's okay. And that's the mainstream way to think. And if not, they're going to come for you. You got 3,000 followers. I don't care. I'm coming for you. Like you should have seen. It's funny. Instagram, when I started posting my videos, and I never really specifically said, I think I never said the word vaccine. I know I didn't. Ooh, sorry if I said it now and you were.
That's okay. No, it's okay. It's fine. It's fine with me. That is not an off limits topic for me.
Well, you know, I don't want to get your show canceled. Because
you won't.
Say the word. Like,
you won't. You won't. Thankfully, like, Spotify doesn't put the COVID disclaimer on there like Instagram does.
Oh my goodness. One of my posts, nothing did not say the word vaccine. It's just one of a picture that I talked about Bonnie Henry over here where like the vaccines mandates were lifting all across Canada. And then here in BC, they're like, actually, what we're going to do is put more on. And now all doctors, nurses, and practitioners, all of them all now need to give us their vaccine information. And that's what was happening during the convoy in BC. So things actually got worse here. And I don't think that's even been resolved yet. I forget why I started saying that, but.
That's okay. It was relevant. Somehow it was relevant. Like to go back to agreeing with someone on one point automatically in this woke cancel culture, mainstream, whatever it is. I wish there was a word, like a term that could encompass all of it, but I don't think we have it yet. So my daughter is 16. The woke world, woke divism. So my daughter is 16. I think I shared this on a podcast a few episodes ago, but it's totally relevant to this conversation. And I'm curious to hear your reaction, if nothing else. But my daughter is, she's 16 and she's homeschooled, except she goes to public school for one class every day, physical science. And that's because her mother is not a science teacher. She goes to this class at the school one hour a day. And when she started going, my daughter's queer and she's very openly queer. And so all the queers find each other, like somehow they all like magnets, they come together and they stick together. So she found this friend group that was a collection of queer, gay, trans students. And my daughter is super into she loves to watch certain YouTubers that do live streams and they have like conversations on Discord or whatever during a live stream. And I don't understand it because I'm too old for that, but that's just what I know she's into. So anyway, her queer friends at school knew about her love for one of these particular YouTubers. And one day they just confronted her and they were like, this guy said these racist things. They had seen it on TikTok. It was a TikTok video that they saw that they were like, that they took as fact that this YouTuber had said these racist things. And they were like, you need to stop following him and watching him because he's racist. And my daughter like went back through his YouTube channel and found where he had apologized for what he said. And she was like, no, see, he said he was sorry for what he said. He's changed and he recognized his mistake and he fixed it. And he like publicly apologized and I'm still going to follow him. And her friends were like, no, you cannot do that because he is a racist. He is clearly a racist. And by you watching his YouTube videos and participating in his live streams, that makes you a racist too. And my daughter is just, no, no. And the whole friend group, there's four of them, and they totally have ostracized her and they won't talk to her anymore because she refused to stop watching this YouTuber. So it's happening with, and these kids are like 14, 15, 16 years old. It's that young that they're starting to do that. Honestly,
normalized.
Yeah, because it's honestly like the normalization of the cult mentality of whatever one person's doing, we all have to follow that and we have to stick to that script. And if we don't, we're going to be in trouble. And it's just, yeah. It scares the shit out of me, LaTanya. It scares the shit out of me.
Absolutely. Good for you for homeschooling your daughter. I think that's the name of the game moving forward. Because, and in schools, really what's being taught for the most part is conformity and obeisance and competition and comparison and just that need to fit in and mold yourself into this idea that may or may not be correct, but it's just what's been accepted widely. And yeah, it makes sense. That's how these kids are acting because that's what's been normalized.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just, that's really.
Yeah. And that's like the same thing as being like, because you have one racist person on your Instagram follower list, that makes you a racist.
As if you can control your follower.
Like, yeah.
Is that what we think? Because no, that doesn't make sense. But yeah. If we're using that same logic, then that's what we would have to assume.
And same logic too with the trucker convoy. Were there probably some white nationalists and racists in the convoy, like participating? Probably so. Does that make the movement as a whole a white nationalist movement? No.
Yes.
But according to the media, yes. According to the media, yes. It's true. There are some racist Nazi fascist people participating in the convoy,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't make the movement as a whole a fascist, Nazi, racist, white supremacist movement.
Yeah. And which also to point out too, a lot of these, I'm not going to say that they weren't there because I wasn't there. So Right. There probably was a flag or a whatever there was, but like some of these things that came out after the fact was, oh, that picture of the Nazi flag on the staircase, that actually wasn't at the protest. Turns out that was a lie. But so it's just, if you're not there, it's just so convoluted. Like we're getting our information from, I don't know what, it's all just meant to make us afraid to support this group so that the people on top can continue doing whatever it is that they're going to do.
Amen.
Yeah.
So your fourth point is that your voice and other Black, Indigenous, and people of color's voices were ignited by the supposedly racist protesters.
Right.
What's that all about?
The reason I said that, it was like, okay, so all along in these 2 years, we've all been very much attacked for having any sort of belief that was, or question, even just like a question that was outside of the narrative. I personally, like I've told you before, I've spent the last 2 years preparing to start creating what I want in the future, creating this better world for everyone and working on myself so that I can speak and communicate effectively. And this was just the moment. It just seemed like the right time. And I think a lot of people that felt that little change in the energy, a little change in it's all of a sudden, it was okay to voice your opinions. So that's something that definitely came from the protest. But one thing I will say about protesting just in general is that if we remain in the system that we're in, like any sort of situation like that, where we're clashing between the poles, like our whole world system thrives on polarity. That's how we've been perpetually distracted this entire time. It's how we've conditioned ourselves from childhood and from our upbringings and whatever to believe within these polarities, to believe what's right and what's wrong and good and bad and positive, negative and superior and inferior, like all of these polarities. And then when we're faced within those polarities, like with people that have opposing views, it creates that friction, and that friction causes the fear and the emotional reactions. And we're distracted perpetually by our own fears that we never take the responsibility to take a look at what has been the outflow consequences of our preoccupation. And the outflow consequences is the world we're living in.
Yeah.
But we never take any responsibility for that, because it's always, we're blaming everyone around us because we're stuck in this like metaphysical mind ego space all the time. And we're never really here mm-hmm. in reality. And that's where all of our power lies. We're never here like thinking critically and logically and finding a way that we can fix this and change anything that we're encountering. Like the protest, the reason I started saying that is because that protest is just a clashing of the poles. It generates all that energy. And if we remain in the system that we're in, the system uses that energy to its benefit.
Yeah.
Regardless. Like you saw what happened. You may not have actually, because you're in Minnesota, but then I'm sure you did. The Emergencies Act got.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And what happened there, even though they did revoke it, it was like what happened there was they normalized the idea that the government, they've got enough people, like the majority of people, maybe not even the majority, but a lot of people to be like, yes, the government has the right to go into your bank account. We condone this. It's like tyranny of the majority. Like the majority has decided because of their fears that the government allowed, like the government directed that energy to make everybody afraid of this convoy, to make it okay for them to get into everyone's bank accounts. And like, really, okay, what does that do? What is that? I mean, it's not really gonna, the average person isn't gonna feel the effects of that moving forward. But my dad has a business in America. He's already felt the effects of these new sort of bureaucratic hoops that you gotta jump through in order to transfer money across the border now. It's already being affected. So the people that are gonna notice the difference here are the small businesses.
Yeah.
All of this, the people that have bared the brunt of this, all of the lockdowns, the mandates, the gas prices, the inflation, the sanctions on Russia, even everything. The only people that are really gonna feel this is the small businesses. People in jobs, they're not really gonna notice because they're not doing any of that. They just go to their work and then they fuck off and whatever. But the small businesses are being affected. So what happens when the small businesses start to fizzle out? Hundreds of thousands in Canada already fizzled out from.
It gives the corporations all kinds of places to go in and take control.
Exactly. And that the system that we're living, there's the people that are like living in poverty. There's the middle class. And then the middle class is the only thing that's bridging the gap between everyone in poverty and the oligarchy. Mm-hmm. Right. And if there's things that are being taken away from the middle class and the middle class starts dribbling out, then we're just left with this huge expanse between. And this is, and I don't want to say how I said in my video was the ruling class and their minions.
Yeah.
That is what's been being created in this world right now. The middle class is under attack. And if we don't do something to stop that. And I'm like, I don't say all this to make everyone afraid, actually, because it's just the opposite. Like we've got the tools. I've figured out how we can fix this. And it all comes down to education. Like it all comes down to being able to education on your mind, education on proper vocabulary. Like the way that we're able to communicate will be what gives us the ability to be equals, to close the gap. The words we know, it's just so important. Like our vocabulary, it flows into everything that we're able to be and become and perceive and relate to. It our communication, like it determines our relationships, like how we're speaking to other people determines our relationships. So it's just, if we can get a handle on that system, like language is a system. Language is the system through which we perceive and interact with reality.
Yeah.
So it's just, that's going to be the key here. And the difference is, and this is why I commended you for homeschooling, is we got to get our kids out of these schools, man. These schools are creating the workers, they're like, school is meant to create people that they're not. And I have a degree in business. Like I went to school, I did molecular biology and biochemistry and business administration. And so this is, a fairly anecdotal perception, but I didn't see any sort of training on how to run a business. It's what I feel like business school is designed for is to create corporate management.
Yeah.
Like somebody who can work. And then once you're working, you're still like in that system where you're being directed by the oligarchy above. And we're not going to really notice what's happening to that middle class. But when that middle class goes,
yeah,
all we got.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that polarization, rich and poor. That
polarization. Exactly. And yeah, that's where we're headed.
And I think something people haven't thought about, or maybe they have, but I saw a video the other day of, it was a farmer, and they were talking about the difference in how much it costs to fill up their fuel tank and their tractor now compared to a year and a half ago. So it was like in September of 2020 to fill up their tractor was like $250 a day.
Yeah.
Now in March of 2022 to fill up the same tractor is like $750. Like it's tripled how much they're having to pay. So what people don't, I grew up in a farm community and I grew up on a horse ranch. And so I feel like I can actually speak to this is like when farmers can't afford to irrigate because electricity costs go up, or when they can't afford to fill up their tractors and their fuel tanks because gas prices go up, or they can't afford to buy seed because seed prices go up, like all of that, that creates a massive problem because that is their livelihood. And if one of those things is affected, it fucks the whole system over. Mm-hmm. If you can't fill up your tractor with gas, it doesn't matter how great your crops are doing. So if your crops are doing great and you can't water them because your irrigation system is too expensive because of electricity, then your crops are going to fail and it doesn't matter how much gas costs. You know what I'm saying? So it's all these variables in the equation that make it possible for farmers to be able to farm. And a lot of these farms are like family farms. The land and the farm has been in families for generations. And what's happening right now is that if these farmers either don't have savings or they don't get some kind of subsidy or tax break or something, they're not going to be able to afford to fill up their tractors. They're not going to be able to harvest their crops. Not only is that going to create a giant gap in our food system where we have shortages of the food that they would have grown, but it also makes it so that they can't even afford to stay on their land. And land prices are going up super high. So who's the only person who can afford to come in and buy their land from them?
BlackRock, Vanguard, corporations.
That's it. This is another means by which the oligarchy is setting themselves up to take even more land, more power, more infrastructure, like, because they're the only ones who are going to be able to afford. So if that family farm has been in their family for five generations and this Russian war and the sanctions on the fuel affects the gas prices to the point that next year, there's no way these farmers can hold onto their land. They're going to be forced to sell. If they have a few hundred or 1,000 acres or something, a regular person like you or me is not going to be able to come over there, buy that land, buy the equipment, buy the house, buy all of it and run that farm for them. Yeah. Like we're not, it's going to be millionaires and billionaires who come in and take that. And they're not even going to farm it. They'll end up building some kind of industrial thing there. They'll end up putting in a condominium complex or a casino or a ski resort, or they'll do something like that with it. And so I don't think people realize, or maybe they don't fully grasp like how dangerous this situation really is. And that's not to put fear in people, but like you can't face whatever it is that you're up against until what it is that you're up against. And you can't face it if you're living in fear.
Yeah, exactly. And then awareness is just the first step. Once you wake up, it's, oh man, you got work to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Tons of work to do. That's what 2020 and 2021 has taught us. We have 6 acres here in Minnesota and we do a very mediocre job of homesteading. Like I grow a little bit of food and we tap maple trees and we make our own maple syrup and we have sources for local meat and local eggs and all that kind of stuff. So we've been building this for ourselves for a long time, but as this shit continues to come down the the pipeline. Even me, I'm in a way better off situation than a lot of people are. Like, I don't live in a neighborhood or a condominium or an apartment complex. Like, I actually have some room to be able to grow some food or have chickens or like whatever to make myself a little bit more sovereign. Mm-hmm. And again, a lot of people call this conspiracy theory, but even if you live in an apartment balcony, start figuring out how to grow some stuff in containers on your balcony. Because if these small family farms go out of business, it's only going to make food costs go up even more, which they already are because of fuel prices. Yeah. And if you don't have some means of food sovereignty, then what's going to happen, because he's already said it's going to happen, is Bill Gates wants to come in and geoengineer fake meat. And that's supposedly going to replace farming and ranching in the United States. And it's going to be way more eco-friendly, but that's what we're setting ourselves up for. Like, it's bonkers.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause that's natural.
Right. Yeah. Lab grown meat. That's natural.
Interesting. It's just so funny. I don't understand how anyone, it's just Bill Gates has such an interesting coming from his parents with their ties to eugenics. And even him, he like with his history of monopolizing, and he actually, Microsoft was held criminally responsible for creating a monopoly at the time. I think is, I don't know. He appears to have this like altruistic persona, and it's just, I don't understand why we can't just look at reality and see.
Yeah.
And for what he is.
Like, yeah. That's what I meant earlier when I was talking about these rich dudes who are seen as these like amazing humanitarians. But if they can get you to like them, then you're more likely to go along with whatever it is they're doing.
Yeah. And that comes back to my point about communication. Yeah. It's all about how you communicate. My communication is the only reason we're having this conversation
today. Yeah. 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 Right?
Like, yeah. And if you can, and I'm just saying, I'm not anything special. Like, you can create this for yourself too. And anyone can create that and do that for themselves too. They just need the tools.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So DIP, what does that stand for?
Destiny I process.
Destiny I process.
Yeah. So DESTENII process.
Okay. Got it. All right. We're going to link to that in the show notes for sure. Along with Techno Tutor.
Yeah, for sure. You can, tell your listeners to come, go ahead and reach out to me. I've got a link in my bio on Instagram.
Oh, perfect.
Facebook and stuff. But yeah, we'll link that.
Okay. Sounds perfect. Anything else that you feel like needs to be said before we're done? Anything that you wanted to make sure you said that you haven't had the chance to yet?
Oh, I said everything and then some, I think.
Okay, just get ready. You might get canceled.
Yeah, I just felt so comfortable talking to you, Lindsay.
Now you're a known associate of mine.
Oh, wow. Maybe I'll get my own cancellation campaign. That's when you know you've made it.
That's when you know you've made it, even if you only had 3,000 followers. So if I had another cancellation campaign start, I don't even know. I'd probably just like log out of the app for 2 weeks or something.
You know, one of the thoughts that I've been working with on my techno tutor was that I am independent of the good or bad opinions of others. I don't care whether or not you like me or don't like me.
Yep.
I mean, just, I know what I'm about and that's what I'm about.
Yep. That's what it's gotta be. And people don't understand like the internal resources that it requires to be able to have that.
Yeah.
Because for a lot of us, it would be so much easier for us to just roll over and people please and silence and censor ourselves and do what, you know, everybody wants us to do because that's what makes them comfortable. Like, it actually takes a lot of internal resources to be able to have that belief of I am independent of anything anyone thinks about me.
Yeah. And it also comes from the fact that I know I am trying to change the world. This world needs changing.
Amen.
So whatever y'all want to tell me, go for it. But let's have a conversation.
Yeah. Let's put our differences aside and stop looking and creeping on who I'm following. And let's just have an actual conversation instead. Yeah, I agree. I agree. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here, LaTanya. This was an honor.
Yes. Thank you very much for having me, Lindsay.
All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in today. And just so you make sure you have the resources that LaTanya mentioned in this episode, I am linking below to the Techno Tutor program and the Destiny program that she mentioned that's helping her be educated, learn how to make the subconscious or unconscious conscious, and how to communicate that. So I felt like that was really important, and I'm really glad she brought those up. And they were resources that were new to me as well. So check the show notes below, whatever app you're listening in, or you can find show notes at lindsaylockett.com/podcast. And this is episode 82. And just a reminder, there will not be another episode this coming Sunday. The next episode will not come out for another 10 days or so, which will be the 29th of May. Will be when the next episode comes out. So thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you listening in. And if you enjoyed this episode, would you give it a review? Would you give me a star rating and a written review? I would really, really appreciate it. And those reviews help the podcast be found by people who are searching for content about trauma or the nervous system or sovereignty and authenticity. It's a really big help to those of us who have podcasts when our listeners leave reviews. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate you so much for being here. And I'll talk to you next time.